Well, you don't have to look the other way the whole time.
I'm looking the other way. I've turned my back.
I get to surprise you now.
First guess that you're surprising me with.
Okay, how does that feel to be on the other side?
I don't have control issues. I'm being serious. I really don't have control issues, but I do. I have preparation issues.
Okay.
And so I don't
know. And you know that I'm not like the most.
I don't know who's coming on. What am I going to ask this person? What if I'm like, yes, it's.
Oh,
I'm sorry. I saw that. I have those kind of issues. Like, oh, I wonder if I'm going to screw.
You're going to guess the wrong person.
Yeah.
Well, then don't guess. Maybe. But I will tell you, this whole surprise thing, y'all, it's a little bit harder than it looks. I mean,
nobody thought it looked hard.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to the Don't Mom Alone podcast. I'm your host, Heather McFadden, and this is the place where I get to walk alongside you and connect you with people and resources so you know that you don't mom alone. And in this episode number 473, it's one of our sidetracked episodes where my friend Cynthia Yanoff, the host of the Mesmerize podcast, joins me and we get a little sidetracked. Well, once a month, we are trying this thing where we surprise each other with a special guest. And today, as you heard, I am surprising Cynthia. And as you saw in the title of this episode, it's with Beth McCord, your Enneagram coach. And before you send me all the emails about Enneagram, we get into that big elephant in the room, along with another super awkward situation that happened between Beth and I. This is such a great conversation about knowing yourself better and mothering from a place of knowing yourself and your kids. And I absolutely adore Beth's mission statement, which I'm going to read to you right now. She said, "It is for people to see themselves with astonishing clarity so they can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ." As you heard, the word Enneagram isn't even in there, and that is not her focus. It's just a tool. And so I hope that you are encouraged in this conversation and you laugh a little bit too. Let's get right to it. Here we go. So our guest today,
yes,
is a well-known speaker, author, teacher, coach in her field, online content for the past 20 years. She co-hosts a podcast with her husband that they started back in March of 2020, mm-hmm. and they published almost 250 episodes, including one with me and Bruce. Okay.
Really?
Yeah. She has over 1 million email subscribers.
A million
emails. And yet her field of specialty is a bit controversial.
Oh,
yeah. More impressive than those numbers, her work with numbers will help you better understand how you are motivated, mm-hmm. how you connect with others, and maybe some blind spots in your personality.
It's Enneagram.
A super awkward side note. I recently sent a quick angry reply to her subscriber email because her email header was the name of my podcast.
I was there.
Thankfully, she was incredibly gracious and kind to my Enneagram for a moment. She's going to help us figure out what makes your achiever self, how your achiever self makes you such a great mom. Are you ready to welcome? It's Beth McCord, your Enneagram coach. Here she is. Hey, Beth.
Hey. Good to see you.
She's the snarkiest email, Beth. And I want you to know, as a people pleaser, I'm still uncomfortable with the whole thing.
She was like,
It was totally fine. It was a sweet moment just because I was like, oh my gosh. And it's so funny because, like, I told Heather, I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like so not in social media and in the know mm-hmm. that I was like, I mean, I feel bad, but I just forgot. And so when she sent it, I was like, was not trying at all to like take the stage or anything. And I was like, I'm so sorry. So anyway,
it was totally a moment of Beth being an Enneagram 9. Mm-hmm. Cynthia's reaction as an Enneagram 3, like, you what? Why would you ever, like, protect image at all costs? And me being, like, my authentic reactionary self that is ridiculous and thinking the world is limited. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm glad you're here. Like,
and she's so kind to even come on here.
I mean,
I'll block her out if you don't want to talk to her. It's totally fine. I can take it from here. If there's any hard feelings, feel free to tell me.
Well, I think this highlights the beauty of the Enneagram, and it's not, I'm not at all taking pride in it, but when we understand the Enneagram and that email came through, and I knew it was short and to the point, and I could tell that you were hurt. And so, you know, as I filtered through, you know, because I don't want conflict or tension, that's the last thing, but I was like, wait, hold on. Let me think about why this would impact her that way. It's like, oh, right, because for the four, well, one, there's lots of emotions. Two, the core weakness is envy, and envy feels like there's something missing inside of you, and maybe like you don't belong, which is not true. That's all false.
Right.
And so
you're right.
And then everyone else has this missing piece but me. And then here comes Beth with the same, you know, Don't Mom Alone title. And it's like, are people taking away from me the very authentic thing that I'm offering the world? And I'm not saying we didn't even have this discussion, but I'm like sitting there thinking, I bet that's what she's feeling. And I can completely understand why that would land on you that way. And of course, you know, I knew you would be gracious if I explained it. So I just explained it all. And you were like, oh yeah, I'm so sorry, you know. But that's the beauty of the Enneagram, because instead of me putting on just my type 9 lens, or if I was a type 8, my type 8 lens or whatever it is, I was trying my best to see it through your lens. And that way we can reconcile and move on, which we did.
It's well, so kind. I mean, I was thankful. I was like, of anyone to do that to.
Yeah, don't do that to me. I'll achieve you right out of the building. No, I'm just kidding. Beth, here's the thing. Here's what I have said this before. And I don't know if I can say this or not, but I'm going to say it anyway. And then we can edit it out if we don't like it. But sometimes anything. Like people are like, oh, the Enneagram or this or that, you know, there's, you can get what, like whatever about it.
Yeah.
And here's what I will say about it. Like, I love Jesus and I believe he has a plan for my life and that his word is the absolute and ultimate truth.
Yeah.
I will also say this. I have never felt more seen or understood until somebody brought the Enneagram to me and said, hey, you're a three. Now I spent a lot
rude.
Of time.
They're not supposed to tell
I
you.
Spent a lot of time explaining to people I was a seven. Because I'm so fun and outgoing. And then the more I looked at it, I'm like, dang it, I'm a three. Now, listen, everybody, there's nothing wrong with being a three. It's fine. Just let me achieve over here. But it is like-
She's really good at getting stuff done.
And all, she says this every podcast, but in all seriousness, like reading it in the healthy side of it and the unhealthy, like I've never understood myself. Like I really understood myself after the Enneagram.
Support for today's episode comes from Honey Love. You've heard me talk about Honey Love because they have revolutionized the bra game. Say goodbye with me to underwire without sacrificing the support and the lift. I don't know what it is about summer. Maybe it's the oppressive heat that I'm already uncomfortable in. I don't want to wear an uncomfortable bra on top of it. And so for sure, if I didn't already reach for my Honey Love bra, I am 100% grabbing it during the summer. And those of us with the smaller little breastages finally have a bra that doesn't keep riding up or needing to be pulled down. And those that are more well endowed can finally have a bra that is supportive and comfortable. And here's the deal too. The fabric they use is so soft that I often forget I'm wearing it. Now I know that's hard to believe, but it's true. And sometimes you could even sleep in the Honey Love bras. You'll forget that you're wearing them. I personally love their best-selling bra, which is the crossover bra. It is going to be your go-to as well because it has the support, like I mentioned, no underwire, like I mentioned, but it has this mesh detailing that adds just a little like pretty touch to it that especially if you are wearing a lower cut top that needs a cami, you don't have to add another layer in the summer, which is huge. If you're tired of the bulging in the back, Honey Love has you covered. They have this back smoothing fabric to prevent that bra bulge. They also have a V bra, which is a more relaxed lounge bra. They have shapewear, they have tanks, they have leggings. Y'all need to check out Honey Love because they have you covered, whether it's your everyday look, your workouts, your weddings, so much more. Honey, you need this in your life. You have earned it. Honey Love is not just supporting women, it's empowering women. So treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/DMA for Don't Mom Alone. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/DMA. M-A. You're going to find your perfect fit. And after you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show. Tell them we sent you. You deserve this. Feel free yourself from the pain and the discomfort. Keep the support with Honey Love.
Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely. So I'm going to piggyback off that to ask our first question of you that I sent you, because it's the elephant in the room that I'm like, I don't know. I've been comfortable. I've had you on the show before. I've had you and your husband on the show. Like, I'm comfortable talking about Enneagram. And then we get these big wig Christian influencers come out and they're like, it's from Satan. And everyone's like DMing me and calling me. And they're like, why are you doing Satan stuff on your show? And
why do you hate Jesus?
Why do you hate Jesus? Yeah. And you just explained how like a conflict in between us was reconciled because of understanding through the Enneagram. And I know there's so much more depth. Like, there's books out on like how to connect better with Jesus by knowing your Enneagram type. How have you managed the recent, not even recent, like the hate that comes up?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I think that there's some influencers that started listening to people that are really knee or neck deep into the myths of where the Enneagram began and how and why and all that stuff. And they just heard that side and they just kind of went off with that knowledge, thinking that that was the research that needed to be done. We, at least one of those people, we've had a small conversation, but I would love to navigate that conversation further. They then got busy. And so hopefully I can have that longer conversation with them. But what I usually do is I steer people to our website, yourenneagramcoach.com/origins. Now, there are some people that are going to be like, nope, if it just has even the whiff of possibly not being right or godly, I'm not going to even look into it. And I'm like, you know what? That's fine. This is just a tool of many tools. And the only reason why I use this tool is to help me orient my own inner world back into my relationship with Christ and with others and myself. So here's the thing. The things that people are hearing about how it started and who started it and why they started it, they're actually not accurate and true. And the person that did the best research on it, in my opinion, is Tyler Zack. He's a pastor, Enneagram coach, and a type three. So he was going to do the full work
done.
Yeah, he's going to get the job done. And so if you go to YouTube and type in Tyler Zack, Z-A-C-H, and put in, should Christians use the Enneagram? He has a whole hour on the myths and what he found out. But if you're like, I need to know more, he actually has an 8-module course on it.
Wow.
Like,
wow.
He went
so three. I love him.
You're his best friend. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on my website, yourenneagramcoach.com/origins, I have a statement there. I have multiple links to multiple things, plus that YouTube link that I talked about with Tyler Zack. So you could go there and look at a bunch of stuff. That being said, you know, God redeems all things. And I know people will have different thoughts in that, but if you look at the research and you really know who started and why, you're not going to be afraid of it.
Yeah.
And even so, how we use it is from a gospel-centered perspective. So here's my mission statement with your Enneagram coach, is for people to see themselves with astonishing clarity so they can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ. The word Enneagram's not even in there. That's not the focus of what we're doing. It is just a tool that I totally get and became an expert in it. And so I use that tool, but it's the gospel that brings transformation. So at the end of the day, we can all throw it out of, you know, with the bathwater if we want and still be fine. And so that's really the point I want to start with everyone is, what's the gospel truth? And to your point, when you were talking about the levels of health, that's really what I'm wanting to do because and focus on. Because when you, as a type three, look at your levels of health, what we usually do as human beings is we see the less healthy attributes and our stomachs get knot. We start to feel shame and guilt. But unfortunately, what happens is it's kind of like we're driving down the highway thinking we're all doing fine. And then we see this and we get exposed and we see like, oh my gosh, someone really knows what's happening inside me and making it really clear. I'm really uncomfortable. Well, that kind of puts us on a trajectory of going off course and into the ditch, the shame cycle. But what we can do is we can use the Enneagram as a rumble strip on the highway, right? So we're going to put it down. And when we hear or do things that we know aren't the healthiest about us, we want that to alert us, but not so that we have shame and self-condemnation and fear where we head into the ditch. We want to use that as a tool to go, okay, first and foremost, I am safe in Christ because of his work on my behalf. He took away all my sins and he put on me his righteousness. It's started with him and it will end with him. Therefore, I am his beloved, no matter how healthy or unhealthy I am on this side of heaven. And so when we know that, we can look at those weaknesses or places of sin and not be happy about it and not be like, oh, great, no problem. But it allows us to go, I can own that. And I can ask for forgiveness and I can ask for a new direction and a new heart because he's the one that's going to transform me through this path. So it allows us to actually do the work we're supposed to do while staying connected with our identity in Christ. So that's really what we are all about here at your Enneagram Coach.
I love it. I love it. And you've written multiple books. Y'all can check out More Than a Number and then A Becoming Us, which is related to marriage, which is super fun if you Google an Enneagram, whatever, married to an Enneagram, whatever. That's, have you ever done that for you and Mike?
No.
Do you even know Mike's number?
I do know. I have my whole family pinned. I know that's against the rules. I know.
What's his number?
Mike is a five. And again, it's been so helpful.
A three and a five.
I don't know what that means. I mean, I hope that's that something. Maybe we go
to
counseling.
Well, you're both very logical. You're both, let's get to the point. Let's get this thing done. He's though going to be a little bit opposite of you in the sense that he is not going to move forward until he has all the information that he feels capable and competent on. You're like, well, not that we'll figure it out on the way, but has this sense of confidence that I will figure it out on the way. I will accomplish this. I don't need to know everything in the exact moment. It's going to, you know, we'll just piece it together.
It'll self-correct. It'll correct as we go. I'm married to one of those then. Uh-huh. And now I work with one. As well, and I'm kind of maxed out on threeness right now. Okay,
that's so hateful. Like literally, that's so hateful.
I'm just will y'all stop threeing on me from all the sides?
Well, you know what's funny, and I'm just telling everybody listening this, you'll appreciate this. So Heather and I, there's like and I'm not giving any details, but a little opportunity maybe to do something different with Sidetracked and to take it to a different level. And we've been laughing because the ball is literally in Heather's court to deal with this. And this is probably an opportunity that most people out there in the podcasting world will be like, oh, you might want to try to jump on that. And so I'll very casually be like, Heather, where are we on this? She's like, oh, I forgot about it. I don't know. And the three,
there's been a lot going on.
So I literally just told her, I'm like, just send it over to me. It's so fun though that's why the Enneagram I think is so helpful because not only does it help me like in a business context to understand people, but it really has helped in my marriage with my kids.
And that's her next book is Enneagram for Moms, which fits with the Don't Mom Alone situation. Because like you were saying, the more aware we are of where I have an image in my head, and I probably shared this when you came on the show before, when you tell that rumble story of like, don't go off the road in the ditch. My mom trying to spank my brother and literally turning the wheel, and we ended up in a ditch. So there's the mothering story I'm sure she's real proud of, but that can happen. You can be so focused on trying to correct your kids that you end up in the ditch because you're not self-aware of why am I wanting to spank this child while I'm driving? So this whole concept I think is going to be really helpful for moms.
Wait, I have a quick question. For those maybe that are just listening and kind of dabbling in this, and I feel like this happens to me all the time. Like, wait, what's a three? What's a seven? Can I just say number and you're just three quick characteristics? Could we play
that little
game?
Here's the fast, efficient way for the threes and sevens and the eights out there. So type one is the principled reformer. They want to be ethical, moral, and right. The type two is the nurturing protector. They want to be loved, wanted, and appreciated. The type three is the admirable achiever. They want to be successful, admirable. They want people to know they have high status and high regard.
Shut up. Heather's judging over there. Just everyone. Judging. It's fine. Go ahead.
Great. Type four is the introspective individualist, and they want to be unique, different, and their most authentic self. Mm-hmm. Type five is the analytical Type five is the analytical investigator, and they want to be knowledgeable, capable, and competent. The type six is the faithful guardian. They want to be safe, secure, and guided. The type seven is the entertaining optimist, and they want to be happy, satisfied, and fully content. The type eight is the passionate protector, and they want to protect themselves and those in their small inner circle. And the type nine, me, is the peaceful accommodator, and we want inner stability and peace of mind with harmony. So that's just a little quick. That was just the core desire of all nine. And there's four core motivations: the core fear, what you're running away from, the core desire, which I just covered, which is what you are striving for, the core weakness, your Achilles heel, and your core longing, the message your heart longs to hear.
So talk to us about this. How does knowing your Enneagram type help you become a better mom?
And we like kind of talked about yours or knowing your kids. That would be
yours.
Like, okay.
Yes. So that's a good question. I wrote the book you need, not the book you want. Now, it does have some bits and pieces that you actually want. The book we want as moms is, like, my kids are Nate and Libby. Just give me the manual for Nate and Libby. Like, that's all I care about. Like, how do I do this correctly?
How do I
do this right? Yes. How do I set them up? How do I not ruin them? That's not how God sets it up. Because if that were the case, why would we need anyone else? Why would we need God? Why would we need to lean on Him? He wants us to surrender and depend on Him. And so He keeps a lot of these things a mystery. You can't actually know your kids' type until they can type themselves, because the Enneagram is all about the core motivations, why you do what you do. And I don't know why you do what you do. If I don't know you and I don't know your type, you have to be the one to come to that. Now, saying that, when your kids are older and they do want to find their Enneagram type, great. There's so much of this that you can use. My kids are adults now, and we use it all the time. And I'll kind of get into a story of how that was so powerful for us. But, and actually I can kind of use it even right now with this, with what you're asking. As moms, one of the greatest gifts we can give to our children is to know our own developmental story and work through it into where we are actually healing and growing so we can self-regulate. And when we're at that place, we're never going to be perfect. It's never going to be, the work is never done. But when we can be more self-regulated, that means, and we're more, I guess, secure in who God created us to be. Because, hey, if you wanted, you know, Heather, if he wanted you to be a type five mom, you would have been a type five mom for your kiddos. He wanted you to be the type four for your kiddos. And the same with all the other moms out there. So if we get comfortable as much as we can in our own type's skin, then we can actually be a non-anxious, connected presence to our kids. And that's what they're wanting. They're wanting us to see them, to attune to them, to understand them, to validate them, and to just love them unconditionally. But it's really hard to do that when we're so fixated on fixing everyone else without doing our own work first. And so that's, the book is really to help you set you up to understand yourself so you can actually be there for your kids in the way they want you and need you to be.
I think that's so huge, because I was learning about attachment recently. Have I told you about this?
No.
And that whole concept of like being available and meeting their needs and that actual true connection, there's a, like, an attachment issue or a way that parents can try to attach that looks like you're being a good mom, or you think you're being a good mom, but it's overreaching and it's solving the problem before it's asked for. And it's like, sometimes we can think we're being good moms, but it's totally not the experience of the child.
Yeah.
The child feels overrun, and the child feels like they don't have any space, and you're not actually meeting what their need was. I thought that was interesting.
It is interesting. And I would think about, like, with my kids when they were younger, I remember they would want to have a friend or two over, and I'd be like, well, if we're having two, let's have 25. It's very my personality. Because if you're going to, like, go through the effort, like, then one, I'm very extroverted, but also like, well, let's achieve it. Let's knock everything out at
once.
Let's maximize. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember one time one of my kids, and then later another one, saying, Mom, just two. Like, that's it. And as I've kind of come to figure out their Enneagrams, like, it totally makes sense now why they reacted a certain way and why I did. What would you say to a mom who's listening that maybe has kids? First of all, what age do you think that we start letting or asking or allowing our kids to take an Enneagram to figure that out? And then two, what's the best resource like to take the test to figure that out? Point us to what you enjoy.
Yeah. So we have a free assessment at yourenneagramcoach.com. It's in the upper right-hand corner. It's very valuable and reliable. And then we'll give you your scores of all nine types and how you scored yourself. So it kind of gives you an understanding of how you answered it. Okay. Now, if you don't know yourself very well, you know, you're going to have to realize that you're going to still have to do a little bit of work just to make sure that that is your type. So again, go to the core motivations of all nine types and make sure that you really landed on the right one. Kind of like you said, you thought you were seven, and actually the core motivations are for you a three. Because guess what? A lot of us can look like another type, but that doesn't mean we are that type because of the core motivation. So for everyone out there, you can see all nine core motivations at yourenneagramcoach.com/core motivations. It's just a free PDF download. Maybe rank them 1 to 9. Like, this is most like me, this is least like me. And that can kind of help you gauge.
Like,
as
if
well.
You read it and it's like reading your journal. That yeah. to me is a big
That's what
clear,
happened to me with a three. Yeah. I was well, like,
And it's like reading your journal, and usually you want to hide under the covers.
Sure. Now, and you're like, is anybody else reading my journal?
Please don't look at this. Please don't look at this. That was our biggest fight, Bruce and me, is like, do you take a test or you just read the book? And I think it's this combo. Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly. And when you look at your type, usually we're not focusing on the strengths and the wonderful aspects, but God created you to reflect Him. Mm-hmm. And so each of the nine types have the most beautiful attributes. And that's really what I want people to see, is like, I want to champion moms, because you have so much to give your kids. So that's for the moms or teenage and older when they're ready.
So you'd say teenage.
Yeah, teenage and older. Now, hey, some 50-year-olds can't find their type because they don't know themselves well enough. So the person needs to be invested and interested in enough. So you can't just say, oh, they're teenagers now, I'm going to force them into it. And it's probably not going to work.
If they're more immature teenagers. And
right. Very yes. You know, but I will say, as a mom, it's always good to be a student of your kids. So you could probably cross off a few numbers. Like, I knew my son and daughter were not a 5, they weren't a 4, and they weren't an 8. I knew that. I mean, you know, because I just wasn't seeing any of the characteristics or energies in them. And so it's like, okay, you know, I mean, I'm still going to hold it loosely, but I'm going to kind of put it in that category. And then there was 2 or 3 that I was leaning towards, but I didn't want to parent them from that perspective, because what if I'm wrong and I'm like pigeonholing them into that? And so, but it gave me curiosity, and I have to ask questions. And I even asked my son when he was, I think, 8 years old, I thought maybe he was a 1 or 2. And I go, hey, did you help that kid because it's the right thing to do, or because you just want to be helpful? And he looked at me like, yeah, like
both.
All? Yeah. You know, and then I was like, dang it. Well, he actually ends up being a social 6. And a social 6 is a lookalike to 1 and 2. And then if you get further into the Enneagram, his tri-type is 6, 1, 2. And so it's like, oh, well, no wonder why that, you know. And so the Enneagram nuances so much. You pull back so many layers. That's why I really encourage parents, just wait, be curious, ask good questions. And if anything, the core longing that we all long to hear, guess what? We all actually want to hear all 9. One reigns supreme. And if you can just give all 9 of those message our heart longs to hear, you're going to land at least on one of them. I mean, you know, and so like, I long to hear my presence matters. Mm-hmm. Heather, you long to hear that you are seen and loved for exactly who you are, special and unique. And then Cynthia, you want to hear you are loved for simply being you. It's not about the accomplishments. I see you and I love you. Guess what? All people want to hear those, but one of them is going to hit your child in a whole new way. And so that's where it can be kind of fun for us parents, even though I know you want to just get to the point. I want to know how to parent this person. But that's where we lean on God. So that is what I would just say. Be curious. Keep asking questions of your kids. Be good students, but have a non-anxious, connected presence the best that you can.
Well, and you use the word, they need to be self-aware. And I think there's a method that you talk about even for us as adults when it comes to Enneagram. And I know it's a couple chapters in this book and you focus on an entire book on it, but tell us about this AWARE method and how it could help a mom today.
Yeah.
Because I mean, like you said, there's 50-year-olds that are not self-aware, and there's moms are always very attuned, or think they're very attuned to their child's needs, but very, very disconnected from their own. So
Exactly. Yeah. So the AWARE acronym is just to really help you in any circumstance that you're in to get back into awareness and grounded so that you can actually be fully yourself with other people. So the first letter of the acronym is A, which is awaken. So awaken to your thoughts, feelings, and body inclinations. What am I feeling? What am I thinking? And then, you know, is my body feeling tense? Am I breathing shallow? Am I breathing really hard? Do I have a headache? Am I tense? Like, there's lots of things that could be happening. So be aware and awaken to yourself. But the second one is probably one of the most important pieces of AWARE, and it's welcome without shame, guilt, and self-condemnation. That's hard, right? Because once you become aware and awakened to what's going on, you're probably doing it because you're not in a good space, or you're really frustrated or angry or sad or whatever's going on. And that's when we can take the wheel and hear the rumble strip, because awaken is to be aware. Okay, I hear the rumble strip. This is what's going on. But don't take the wheel and then crash right into the ditch. When we are more compassionate to ourselves, great things can happen. And the reason we can do this is because there is no more condemnation. Christ already took on the judgment. And if he's not heaping that on us, well, do we think we're better than him? No, sure. We're not. So this is where we have the opportunity to go, okay, I'm going to be curious for myself. So that's welcome. Then the next letter is A, which is ask. So we want to ask for the truth. And that can come from lots of different places, right? We can ask for the truth from maybe people in the situation. Like, is this what's going on? This is what landed on me. This is how I saw the situation. Or maybe it's truth from scripture. Maybe it's truth from a textbook. I mean, there's lots of things that we can gather truth from. R stands for receive the truth. So once you've got the truth, are you actually receiving the truth? Because a lot of us can see what's true, and then we just kind of, like us nines, me, sweep it under the rug. Like, I think I'll just not actually deal with this situation. So are we receiving the truth in the way that would enable us to change? And that's what E stands for, is engage. Engage in life and your relationships in a new way once you know and receive that truth. So that's just a really helpful acronym to make sure that you are living in truth and then responding in a healthy way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
You want to hear the five again?
Yeah.
Yeah. So A is awaken to your thoughts, feelings, and inclinations. W is welcome without shame, guilt, and self-condemnation.
She's getting an A+. She's remembering.
A is ask.
Yeah.
Ask.
And then look at this one. Ask what is true. Mm-hmm. R, receive the truth. Mm-hmm. And E, engage in a new way.
I know.
Look at that.
I know.
You could have gotten an A+.
I achieved it. I knew him. I heard
yay,
it.
Gold star.
Do you have those go-to summer outfits, almost like a uniform, and you're so thrilled when they are clean and ready to be worn? Well, mine currently, I have on tight rotation, are my two outfits from the Rhone Women's Course to Court collection. And if you're one of my in real life friends, you have heard me talking about how much I love these things. One is a little tank and legging situation that I wear to Pilates. I love how the tank is like loose enough for me to move, but not like so loose that it gets caught up in the Pilates, if you know, you know. I also have this little mock turtleneck quarter zip sleeveless top that makes me look like I should be on a boat or maybe playing golf. I don't know. I look real put together. And a skirt to match. Wore that outfit walking with a friend this morning. And it was hot, y'all. I mean, we're in the 90s here in Dallas, and I do not smell. I don't think I smell. I don't smell. Actually, my friend said when she gave me a hug goodbye after, she was like, oh, you smell really good. Well, one thing, I had on good perfume. Two, Gold Fusion anti-odor technology in these Rhone clothes. It helps it last longer between washes. Fresh and clean all day. She also said, oh my gosh, it's so soft. And it's part of the fabric. They have these luxe fabrics, like their cosmic knit, their celestial knit. It is the foundation of helping you move and be breathable. So whatever you're doing, you're in optimal performance. You playing pickleball? You need to check out Rhone. You just chasing kids? You need to check out Rhone. The Course to Court collection is going to get you through any workday, straight into whatever comes next. Head to rhone.com/DMA. Use that promo code DMA to save 20% off your entire order. That's 20% off your entire order when you head to Rhone. Now listen to the spelling, rhone.com/DMA. Use the code DMA, Rhone, for every day, for every you, forever forward. I don't know if you're like this, but I get sometimes in my own little rut on what I like to have for breakfast or what my favorite little snacks are. And right now I am loving making my green smoothie that has spinach and mint and avocado and pineapple and protein powder. And my favorite protein powder is by Primal Kitchen. It's a whey protein, it's vanilla coconut flavor, and it's so delicious. And thank goodness I can save time and money by ordering it through my Thrive Market membership. I just ordered a almost 2-pound tub for 26% off. Huge, huge savings. And I know it's going to come right to my door, and it comes so quickly. It's really, really convenient, huge time saver. I also know with Thrive Market, they have already vetted, and I can trust that they're going to find the products with the top quality ingredients, with restricted harmful ingredients, and that I can curate my own shopping experience with just a few clicks. They keep what I've ordered in the past. I can also search with their special filters exactly what I'm looking for, and I can save money, like I said, with that protein powder. There are so many things I save money on. On average, I save about 30% each time I shop, and they have a price match guarantee and a deals page. So if you find something cheaper somewhere else, you just let Thrive Market and they will match it. Big, big bonus. I'm a big fan of community, you know, and not letting people mom alone. Well, I also love that with Thrive Market, you help a family in need because they have a 1-for-1 membership matching program. So when you join, they give a membership. Everyone should have access to these amazing products. So save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/DMA for 30% off your first order plus a free $60 gift. That's thrivemarket.com/DMA. thrivemarket.com/DMA.
Okay, on a totally unrelated, funny, just side note. So my
sidetracked.
Yeah, totally sidetracked. That's what we're here for, everyone. Yeah. My daughter has a good friend that's here. She's home from college this summer, and he's here all the time and hanging out. And all their friends been hanging out. They call it the clubhouse here because whenever nobody has anything to do, they meet in our living room. So it's constant chaos. But one of the kids, he always says he's a two. And Kate's like, yeah, you're not a two. You're not like a servant. You're not a helper. So last night Kate said, hey, would you go get something, whatever, or get me a bottle of water? He's like, no. And she goes, oh, there's your two again. And I was like, oh no, we're weaponizing the Enneagram in the Ganoff house. That's the kids we raise over here. Yeah. She called him. So I
laughed. Here's the rule that people don't know, but I wish they all knew. Everyone does that just naturally, unfortunately. That's just kind of what we do. Mm-hmm. I don't know why it's not helpful. But the rule is, don't use the Enneagram as a sword or a shield. So you don't want to use a sword where you're like, you're just being a two, or you're just being this, you're such a blah, 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 you know. But you also don't want to use that towards yourself. Like, oh, I hate that I do this, or I hate, you know, like.
It's my whatever.
Yeah, like I have the worst characteristics, but then there's the shield. Well, I heard someone say, yeah, well, I'm a type five, so I can't go on mission trips because, you know, I just need a lot of time alone. It's like, no, there's lots of fives out there that can go on mission trips, but we just need to know how to navigate our own world to make it work right. You know, you could have me as a type nine say, oh, well, I can't be a lawyer because I don't like conflict. Well, there's lots of nines that are lawyers out there.
They do a great job taking everyone's perspective, I can imagine.
Exactly. Yeah. So everyone can do all the things out there. And yes, every one of them is going to have their strengths and their weaknesses. And that's why understanding yourself can be so powerful, because you'll know, oh yeah, when my coworkers are getting all upset, I'm going to want to hide, but that's not healthy. I need to assert myself. I need to stay in the present moment. And actually, I can bring a lot of harmony and mediation as a type nine. So I can bring the best of who I am into those situations.
So speaking of strength and weaknesses, selfishly, what makes Cynthia a type 3, a great mom, and what's her weakness and what's my strength and weakness? Do you have a summary? But I know there's a chapter for each type in the book.
Yes, y'all. There is a chapter for each type.
She goes, like, there's tons of chapters about being moms and how this applies to moms. And then there's specific to each type.
And I lawyered the heck out of my three, or the three the heck out of my lawyer back in my lawyer days.
I bet you remember.
She said that, and it really. Okay, yeah. Strength and weaknesses of, and then everybody else, you're gonna
have to buy the book.
Figure this out.
Yep.
Okay.
Coming out in July.
So for the type three, the strengths that they're going to bring is that they are going to help their kids get from point A to point B, whatever that is. So if the kid is, let's say, struggling with reading, the mom is going to find out all the ways that they need help, and they're going to get that help to ensure that their kid is going to move in the appropriate steps, but not so fast, because see, type threes, they hate being exposed or failing. So they're not going to want their kids to fail either. So they're going to manage how well their kid is doing. This is all when they're healthy, right? How well they're doing and ensure that they're getting their needs met. But also, let's say the kid wants to be the greatest baseball player or something.
Oh my gosh. Did you read her bio before this?
No, I didn't.
The kid that's having trouble reading.
We've already talked about her child that's going to get help with reading this summer, and her kid that plays
baseball. Just had Tommy John surgery, a baseball player. So it's so funny you're saying. Yeah, go ahead.
Like with that, you know, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, oh no, like we've got this thing in the way. But for a three, it's like, okay, that's hard and devastating, but threes are very adaptable to achieve the goal. So it's like, okay, here's the situation. We want to get you from, you know, after surgery, we want you to recover. Here's all the steps that we have to do. We have to ice it. We have to do bandages or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then it's going to take this long. And if we do these steps, then you're going to be able to start practicing again. And then after that, we're going to get, you know, maybe we're going to get you an extra coach to get you from, you know, recovery to where you need to be.
Yeah.
So the amazing type three mom is like this cheerleader, this mentor, this encourager to make sure the kid gets from where they are to where they want to be. Now, the downfall is when the three isn't at their best or their healthiest, it really starts to become this image management system for themselves. Now, they think it might be for their kids, but really ultimately it's they don't want to be exposed for not being the best, the greatest, the most admirable parent. And so they start to want their kids to look a certain way. I mean, as an appearance, also maybe appropriateness, whatever is appropriate or cool for their society. Not just anyone. It's like their group. And so that's when the mom is then really pushing their kids too hard to become something or to achieve what maybe the kids don't want, they don't care about. It's not their life that they're living. In fact, in Ian Cron's book, The Road Back to You, he even talks about Andre Agassi, who is a type three, who just all he did was take on this image that his dad wanted. So the threes are going to take on images and shapeshift. And as a parent, you could also do that if you're not recognizing where your heart is. And so the three is going to force their kids into being a certain image, maybe becoming a doctor or becoming a lawyer, becoming whatever, because of their own image management. Now, again, that's when they're not as healthy. But you just heard what I said when they're really healthy. It's dynamic.
So good. I learned a lot.
Do you feel like revealed?
Was that accurate?
I was like feeling like, oh my God, okay, stop.
But then I also felt a little like, okay, like I've told everyone on this podcast and mine, like, yeah, I have a kid that struggles to read.
I think that you are in definitely a healthy, I mean, your whole book that's right behind us, Life is Messy. Maybe it's like, maybe too, you choose messy because you're like, if the bar is messy, then I'm at least doing better than the bar.
Maybe. Okay, please lay it on hard on the four too. She really needs.
I've already been exposed about my angry email. Okay?
And if you miss anything, I'll point it out. Okay, what she's doing, what she's getting.
Okay, so for the four, when they're really healthy and just at their best, they know that they can bring beauty to the world. And beauty looks different in all categories. It's not just aesthetics and design. It's bringing beauty about one's character, beauty with scripture, beauty with words, beauty with like your aesthetics and design of whether it's an office, a house, you name it. They're literally in, it kind of sounds one-ish. See, all nine types can be perfectionist, but the type four, they see the ideal of what something can be. And they're like longing for that. And so when they're healthy, they know they can't fully attain it, but they also know that they can keep striving for it. And so they're going to help their children to do the same. They will help their children to embody the beauty of emotions, the highs and the lows. They're going to help their children to embody creativity, uniqueness. Mm-hmm. They're going to help the kids, don't be like everyone else, be you. Who are you? And they're going to champion that in their kids. And so those are some of the really cool, one of the other really cool things that the four can do is they can sit in sorrow and sadness and just kind of like meh kind of atmosphere with their kids all day long and be totally fine. It's like their sweet spot. And guess what? Not all of us parents can do that. That can be really hard. We just kind of want to fix them or like, okay, so this is your problem. Let's go do this. Like, okay, chop, chop, chop. Let's go. But the four is going to be like, tell me more. And they're going to be there with their kids. And that's just such a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Now, when they're not so healthy, they can become very emotional, highs mm-hmm. and lows, but they can mm-hmm. really go to the lows. And what happens is the four feels that there's something tragically flawed or missing in them. And so as a parent, they're like, what's wrong with me? I'm so different. I don't think I belong as a mom. And so then they're going to start to focus internally on themselves to the point where they actually aren't seeing their kids as much. And they're trying to fix and navigate that inner world. And they're trying to become the ideal mom that then everything becomes self-focused. And then unfortunately, their feelings that aren't real, right? So they're feeling something. They're thinking this narrative that's false. Their feelings become so real. They think it's really true. Now, we all kind of do that, but they really think it's true. And then they get stuck in this world of analyzing their emotions to hopefully get out into the ideal. Does this sound true?
So, so good. And so,
it feels very real to me, but is that weird to know that about me?
No, I think it's awesome. But, and you know, it just does like, again, like I know not everybody's a four and a three, so you're getting a little peek into the windows of Heather and Cynthia, but like it does help when you understand some of these things. Like I remember when, and I've said this before on this podcast, but I didn't know Heather well at all when we first started working together last summer. And I walked in and something was going on professionally for me. It's kind of hard. And I burst into tears. And like as a three, like I don't mind you knowing my ins and outs, whatever, but I really don't like to be out of control, like crying. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm such a wreck. And she was like, this is my happy place. I love it when people come and cry with me. I'm like, you're weird. Like what's going on? And so you like saying all that, it totally makes sense. But and yeah.
It's been a lot of crying lately.
And I think so good.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, and it actually probably meant a lot to you, Heather.
Yeah.
Like you felt like probably quote unquote, I finally feel really connected with Cynthia. Now, Cynthia, whether you enjoyed that or not, that, I mean, well, not. Meaning like, oh, it's so nice to have
a
friend.
Didn't make her more connected to me, maybe.
Right. No, like, I appreciated it that you have that heart.
Yeah. Exactly. But it also probably felt excruciating, uncomfortable at the same time. And that's just part of being a three. So anyway, I just kind of wanted to throw out there.
No, I think that's great. And I have so much that I would love to talk to you, but we are going to have to get to our round robin questions.
Ooh, okay.
Get to our question. But yes. Yeah. And then at the end, we'll make sure we point back to all her stuff.
Oh yeah. Like, it's all
and I want everyone to take, like, if you haven't done the Enneagram and send all your hate mail to Heather McFadden.
don'tmomalone.com. That's not even my email.
But I'm very
non-threatening. I'll just say that.
Yes, yeah, I'm very not that. I will not email you back angrily.
She'll shoot back an email that you won't know what.
No, actually, I'll probably say, what's your phone number? And I'll call you. I've done that before.
Take it and send it to us. Okay.
But let's give her. Do you want to go first?
Okay. What TV show, movie, book is getting you sidetracked right now?
Yeah. Let's see.
You don't have to pick one of each, but if like, just one. I figure some people are TV people, some people are movie people. I don't know. Book.
Yeah. Jeff and I have been watching Black Matter. And
say it again?
Dark Matter.
Or Dark Matter, yeah.
Yes. And a friend just told me about that.
It's so interesting. Like, it's just so interesting and how they're having to self-regulate and understand themselves and their motivations. I don't know. It's just like, and how when they're not, it totally takes them in a new kind of direction. Anyway, it's just,
It's really a multiverse type of sci-fi show. Okay. If you like Marvel,
I like it.
You probably would. But you have to wait for new episodes.
I know. I'm like, oh, we just watched last night. It was like, oh man, I got to wait a week. So
what is this life? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Okay. What food drink is a must have in getting you sidetracked?
I would probably say lately it's been, I know this is probably weird, but that's okay. A McDonald's vanilla ice cream cone.
Yes.
They are so soft and smooth and super yummy. I just
you get no judgment from us on that.
Oh, we do not judge when it comes to fast food drive-thru.
No. Mm-mm.
If.
Okay.
If they're available, right?
Yeah, right.
Whole thing. That is
the
machine's
classic. Down. Yeah.
Machine's broken.
Okay. What Amazon purchase were you sidetracked by an influencer to purchase? Or just what is, or even if it went to influencer, just what's just, your thing on the Amazon?
That you
Amazon's?
Discovered, maybe. Okay. You're like, oh, man.
So that's kind of funny because, you know, as a nine, I'm usually like, I don't know. But I do know this time. So my daughter had our first grandbaby. He's 3.5 months old. And he's at that age where he can't sit up, but he probably wants to kind of sit. So I got him and Rise Up maybe. Anyway, it's this little seat that helps his spine stay more straight than some of those other little chairs that the kiddos sit in. And of course, then I felt good, like I was actually doing the right thing because this influencer, you know, talked about it. And then I got the right extra saucer that didn't hurt the hips. Anyway, and he loved it.
You did.
So I felt really awesome about that. So that was my big purchase lately.
I'm just going to tell you, she's got the fountain of youth.
I know. You would never know you were a grandma, Beth.
I know.
Beth, you're a young.
Do you have a grandma name?
Meemaw.
Yes.
That I got married at 20, had both my kids by 25, and then Libby is 23. So, you know.
I know, but still young. Young. Well,
do
y'all. You know,
I was sitting here literally. This is how lawyer I am because I can't, lawyers can't do math. Typically, I can't. I'm sitting here in my head trying to figure out how old you were based on the math. And I was like, okay, so 23 and then 25. And then I got 29. All confused.
I'll do it quickly for you.
Grandma's younger than me.
Man, you have you a second grader.
I have a second
grader. It is. It's great being a young grandma, I will say.
Oh my gosh. Well, y'all check out the Enneagram for Moms that comes out July 9th. You can pre-order now. There's lots of goodies if you do pre-order. We'd love for you to. That really helps Beth out. And so many resources on our website. You can even sign up to be trained as a coach, which I think is a great job for moms who are home with little kids or big kids or whatever stage you're in. You're looking for a gig, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that's a great option. So thank you, Beth, for joining us.
So nice to meet you.
It was great being with you guys. Thanks for letting me be a surprise guest.
Oh, it's so fun. Thanks for doing
it. I mean, it's so fun. And I said it a little bit just now, but thank you for forgiving me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. And it was actually a really fun opportunity to do the work of the Enneagram. So thank you.
This is exactly right. All right. Well,
thanks, Beth.
Thanks again. Good luck with the launch.
All right.
Adios.
Bye.
Bye. What'd you think?
Oh my gosh, that was such a fun surprise.
Right?
I love her.
Right?
And I need the book. Did you get the book and you didn't even, I want, oh, you got the book.
I can't share it with you. No, I got a digital version. I don't have the actual copy yet.
I think we should all, everybody, we're going to take this. If you haven't taken it, now's your time. And then you can like DM us or post and tag us on it or something and tell us what your number is and all the things.
And I think she's having like a cohort for each type of mom so that they can connect with each other and be like, oh, that's hard for you too. Because something that I didn't get to ask her, but we talked about after we stopped recording with her, is that she had told me when I was on her podcast that, you know, there's health lines and stress lines, the numbers you go to in health and with stress, like that you can look like other numbers. And my connecting lines are I go to 1 and I go to 2. So when I'm stressed, I go to the negative side of 2, like I'm caring about everybody else and not myself. And in health, I go to 1 and I'm like getting stuff done. It's my productive line.
Okay.
You're like needing me to go there more, but.
I'm needing you to in one particular situation.
But she said at home with our people, we can go to the blind spot of the negative side of our growth number. So if our growth number for me is 1 and for you is 6, we go to the negative side of that with people we're comfortable with. Mm. So I go to a perfectionist critical side at home, which is no bueno.
Yeah.
And you go to more of an anxious side.
Interesting.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, wherever you fall on the Enneagram, I mean, one, I thought her explanation was amazing at the beginning, just talking about, you know, gospel. Mixing that. Yeah. Gospel truth. But two, I mean, it doesn't have to be everybody's thing. That's fine. I just know for me, I just felt like I knew, and probably counseling could have, years of counseling could have helped me as well that I've never been in, but just felt like reading it, being like, oh, that's why I tick the way that I do. That's why, like, I mean, it explained a lot to me and just that achievement thing. And it informs now as I make decisions to be like, hey, is this coming from a place of I don't know, you know, like appearances. This is coming from a place of achievement. This is coming from what the Lord is calling me to do versus what Cynthia wants to achieve. And it really has helped me even in my faith to step back and look at some things.
Well, and like summer for me, what comes out is I have to, and I told the boys this when we were talking about our screen time limits, is summertime, everyone's in Italy, everyone's doing amazing things. And my envy side that comes out as a four is flaring up. Like we are having the worst summer ever because all we're doing is sitting at home and I forgot to sign you up for anything to do. And it's like, oh, well, this is the worst. I'm the worst. We're the worst. What's wrong with me as a mom that I didn't X, Y, and Z or what? Anyway, so that comes out in me and I can be like, Heather, you're doing the thing. Yeah. You're doing the comparison envy thing. That's not good. Yeah. So,
and we're a good example of what it how it can work with completely different business types, and it works.
It works.
Okay.
Well, thanks for getting sidetracked with us.
Yeah, it's fun, right. Girls, boys.
Bye. I know that was another longer episode. Sorry, y'all. We just get so chatty, and we're having so much fun. So I'm gonna let you go. But I hope it was an encouragement to you to just dig a little deeper. Don't be scared. God is God. He's still big and he's still on the throne, and use these various tools to get aware, self-aware of how you respond and react and to bring those things to God. So I'm going to pray over us. Lord, I thank you that you are the creator, that you are the maker, and that you've made each of us so uniquely. I also know that the world comes in, and whether it's through life circumstances, whether it's just through woundings, unintentional or intentional, we can stop believing what is true about you and about ourselves and about others. And I pray, Lord, we would come to you through the gospel and be transformed from the inside out. Let this ongoing process of sanctification would continue. I thank you for grace. I thank you for Beth's kindness in forgiving me. I pray that others are encouraged to reconcile, to reach out when we pop off at each other from our own places of not trusting God, not trusting you, God, and that we would make amends with one another. Lord, I thank you for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Thanks for joining me. Another fantastic conversation coming your way next Monday with Julie Bogart. She has the Brave Learner book, Brave Writer podcast, and we're going to talk about critical thinking with our kids. Such a great conversation. All right. See you there next week. Adios.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Don't Mom Alone podcast. If you're wanting to connect with more people and more resources to help remind you that you're not alone, head over to don'tmomalone.com. That's where you'll also find show notes with any links mentioned by our guests. Most importantly, I want you to know the good news, the great news that you're not alone because God has promised to always be with you. With faith in Jesus Christ, the one who died for you and rose again, Jesus said when he left, he was going to leave a helper, a comforter, to be with us. God in us. Moms, that's superpower. So while you're washing dishes at your kitchen sink, while you're driving to and from work, while you're feeding that baby late into the night, while you're cleaning sticky floors, God promises to be just as present with you as when you're worshiping in a church pew. As it says in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love, and he will rejoice over you with singing. Now that's good news. Have a great day.